Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and State PC's preparation. A legendary voice that has been an integral part of Indian music for over 7 decades has fallen silent as Asha Bhosle passed away on 12 April 2026 at the age of 92. What makes this significant is that Asha Bhosle is survived by a musical legacy that spans over 7 decades, with over 11,000 recorded songs in more than 20 Indian languages and multiple lifetime honors. Born on 8 September 1933, Asha Bhosle was the sister of the renowned playback singer Lata Mangeshkar and the daughter of Master Dinanath Mangeshkar. Crucially, she holds the Guinness World Record for being the most recorded artist, with over 11,000 solo, duet, and chorus-backed songs, a feat that was recognized in 2011. And here is something that surprises many students. Asha Bhosle was awarded the Dadasaheb Phalke Award in 2000 and the Padma Vibhushan in 2008. Now let us turn to another important development. The Cabinet Committee on Economic Affairs, or CCEA, has approved the Kalaitu Runoff River Hydroelectric Project, which is located on the Lohit River in Anjav District, Arunachal Pradesh. This project is significant because it is the first hydro project in the Lohit Basin, with a cost of 14,105.83 crore and a capacity of 1,200 megawatts. Building on this, the project will have 6 units of 190 megawatts each and 1 unit of 60 megawatts, and it is expected to generate 4,852.95 million units of electricity annually. It is worth pausing here to note that the implementing agency for this project is THDC India Limited, a subsidiary of NTPC, which has a 74.5% stake in partnership with the government of Arunachal Pradesh. Remember this number, the project is expected to create around 1,700 direct jobs, with 50% of these jobs reserved for project-affected families. Moving on to what this means for India's energy sector, the Kalaitu Hydroelectric Project is a crucial addition to the country's renewable energy capacity. But why does this matter? It matters because India has set ambitious targets for renewable energy, and projects like Kalaitu will play a critical role in achieving these targets. So what exactly changed? The approval of the Kalaitu project marks a significant step forward in India's efforts to tap its vast hydroelectric potential, particularly in the northeastern region. Now let us turn to the historical context of another important project. Construction on Bhutan's 1,200 megawatt Punat Sangchwai hydroelectric project resumed on 10 April 2026 after a 7-year halt triggered by a 2019 slope failure. What makes this significant is that India's Power Minister, Manohar Lal, attended the concrete pouring ceremony, highlighting the importance of this project for India-Bhutan relations. The project, which is located on the Punat Sangchu River, has a capacity of 1,200 megawatts, with 6 turbines of 200 megawatts each. Crucially, the project has a dam that is 130 meters high and 239 meters long, and it is expected to export all surplus power to India. And here is something that surprises many students: the project has received funding from India, with 40% of the funding provided as a grant and 60% as a loan at an annual interest rate of 10%. With that background in place, let us look at the implications of another important development. The Election Commission's Special Intensive Revision, or SIR, exercise has removed approximately 91 lakh voters from West Bengal's electoral rolls. But why does this matter? It matters because the removal of these voters has sparked controversy, with allegations of disproportionate deletions in Muslim-majority districts such as Murshidabad, Malda, and Uttar Dinajpur. So what exactly changed? The Supreme Court has intervened, deploying judicial officers to oversee the adjudication of disputed deletions ahead of the assembly elections. Note this carefully, the West Bengal electorate has been reduced from 7.66 crore to 6.77 crore, a reduction of approximately 91 lakh voters. Now let us turn to the significance of another important development. The Central Armed Police Forces, or CAF, General Administration Act, 2026, has been gazetted after receiving presidential assent. What makes this significant is that this act is India's first unified administrative statute for all five Central Armed Police Forces, which include the BSF, CRPF, CISF, ITBP, and SSB. Crucially, the act adds a unified layer for service administration, including recruitment, promotion, and deputation, and it harmonizes service conditions and disciplinary procedures across all CAPFs. And here is something that surprises many students: the Act is an umbrella administrative law that covers all five CAPFs, which are under the Ministry of Home Affairs. Moving on to what this means for India's economy, the government has raised the windfall tax on diesel exports to 55.5 per liter, up from 21.5 per liter, and on aviation turbine fuel, or ATF, to 42 per liter, up from 29.5 per liter. But why does this matter? It matters because the windfall tax is a levy on unexpectedly high profits earned by industries, particularly the oil and gas sector, due to external shocks such as the West Asia conflict. So what exactly changed? The windfall tax was first introduced on 1st July 2022 in response to the Russia-Ukraine war, and it has been reinstated in March 2026 due to the ongoing West Asia conflict. Now let us turn to the significance of another important development. The Reserve Bank of India's, or RBI's, Monetary Policy Committee, or MPC, has kept the repo rate unchanged at 5.25% with a neutral stance. What makes this significant is that this is the first MPC meeting of the fiscal year 2026-27, and it reflects the RBI's assessment of the current economic situation. Crucially, the RBI has projected a GDP growth rate of 6.9% for the fiscal year 2027, which is higher than the World Bank's forecast of 6.6%. And here is something that surprises many students: the RBI's decision to keep the repo rate unchanged is based on its assessment of the current inflationary pressures and the need to support economic growth. With that background in place, let us look at the implications of another important development. External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar visited the United Arab Emirates, or UAE, on April 11-12, 2026, to review the India-UAE Comprehensive Strategic Partnership. But why does this matter? It matters because the UAE is India's third-largest trade partner, with bilateral trade worth around $83 billion in 2023-24. So what exactly changed? The visit marked a significant step forward in India-UAE relations, with discussions focused on deepening cooperation in areas such as trade, investment, and energy. Now let us turn to the significance of another important development. Conservation efforts are underway to protect the Indus River dolphin, which is found only in the Bees River in India. What makes this significant is that the Indus River dolphin is an endangered species with a global population of around 2,000 individuals, primarily found in the Indus River in Pakistan. Crucially, the Indian population of the Indus River dolphin is estimated to be around 18 to 35 individuals, and it is found in the Bees River above the Harike Barrage in Punjab. And here is something that surprises many students: the Indus River dolphin is functionally blind, with no eye lenses, and it navigates its surroundings using echolocation. Moving on to what this means for India's tribal communities, the Lanjia Sora, a particularly vulnerable tribal group, or PVTG, in Odisha, is facing pressures of cultural change as younger members engage with formal education. But why does this matter? It matters because the Lanjia Sora is one of the 75 PVTGs in India, and their cultural heritage is an important part of India's rich tribal diversity. So what exactly changed? The Ministry of Tribal Affairs has launched the Pradhan Mantri PVTG Development Mission to support the development of PVTGs, including the Lanjia Sora. Now let us turn to the significance of another important development. The Supreme Court has upheld the Income Tax Department's power to deny tax treaty benefits to Tiger Global Management under the General Anti-Avoidance Rules, or GAR. What makes this significant is that this ruling reinforces the substance over form doctrine, which is a critical principle in international taxation. Crucially, the GAR rules were introduced in India in 2017 to prevent tax avoidance and ensure that companies pay their fair share of taxes. And here is something that surprises many students: the GAR rules are applicable to offshore fund structures routed through countries such as Mauritius and Singapore, and they require companies to demonstrate that their transactions have commercial substance. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The CE20 engine is not relevant here, but we do have other important facts to note. Asha Bhosle was born on 8 September 1933, and she passed away on 12 April 2026. The Kalaitu hydroelectric project has a cost of 14,105.83 crore and a capacity of 1,200 megawatts. The Punat Sangchwai hydroelectric project in Bhutan has a capacity of 1,200 megawatts and has received funding from India, with 40% of the funding provided as a grant and 60% as a loan at an annual interest rate of 10%. The West Bengal electorate has been reduced from 7.66 crore to 6.77 crore, a reduction of approximately 91 lakh voters. The Central Armed Police Forces General Administration Act, 2026, is India's first unified administrative statute for all five Central Armed Police Forces. The windfall tax on diesel exports has been raised to 55.5 per litre, and the repo rate has been kept unchanged at 5.25% by the Reserve Bank of India. The Indus River dolphin is an endangered species, with a global population of around 2,000 individuals, primarily found in the Indus River in Pakistan. The Lanjia Sora is a particularly vulnerable tribal group in Odisha, and the Supreme Court has upheld the Income Tax Department's power to deny tax treaty benefits to Tiger Global Management under the General Anti-Avoidance Rules. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? These developments are crucial for your understanding of current events, and they have significant implications for India's economy, polity, and society. Remember to note the key facts and numbers, and to analyze the implications of these developments for your UPSC preparation. The significance of these developments cannot be overstated, as they reflect the complex and interconnected nature of India's economy, polity, and society. As you prepare for your UPSC exams, it is essential to stay up to date with current events and to analyze their implications for India's development. The connections between these developments and India's broader geopolitical, environmental, and constitutional context are critical to understanding the complexities of India's growth and development.